Passage tonight is Luke 15. Let's open our Bibles. Let's turn to God's Word as we have it here in this marvelous Gospel account. Luke chapter 15. We'll read from verse 11 down to verse 24. The Lord is speaking, and He's speaking a parable. It's just one parable. We sometimes speak about the parable of the sheep and the parable of the coins and the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really one parable, and there are three aspects in it, but it's all teaching the same thing. And the theme, of course, is what we have in verse 2. This man receiveth sinners. And so verse 3 says, he spake this parable unto them. And the parable is going to tell us how Christ Jesus receives sinners, receives sinful men. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's bow together in the presence of God for a moment. Lord, we thank thee for this passage of God's word. We have known it for many a year. The story is familiar, but we don't want that familiarity to be in our hearts tonight that we miss the message. Rather, Lord, we want the message imprinted again upon our minds and hearts. Lord, we want to feel the truth of God's word and what the Savior is teaching in this passage of Scripture, that Christ receiveth sinful men. Even me. Oh God, even me. Thank thee for that day when the free grace of God awoke me and I was saved, brought to Christ, was given the robe of righteousness, found acceptance with God. Thank thee for the welcome that I received as a sinner coming to Christ. And Lord, we thank thee for the welcome that awaits any that are listening to this message, whether in the church or out there on sermon audio. We praise thee that Christ still receives sinful men, and he's able to save to the uttermost. And so, Lord, we're asking thee very particularly now to be shut in with thyself. We're asking thee to take away all the distractions. Lord, we think of all those thoughts that the devil would put into our minds and hearts just to get our attention of God's word. We think of young people sitting in this congregation tonight and how the devil would woo over their thoughts to think of anything but God's truth. Lord, we're asking thee in Jesus' name that there will be a captivated audience in this gathering and that all of us will sit up and pay attention and heed what God is saying. And Lord, for any prodigal in this service, bring them home. Bring them to the Father's house. Do it for the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, and for his glory. Amen. And amen. I'm going to preach tonight in the far country. And if we were to give you a text, we're going to come to look at the passage, but the text would be verse 13, where it says, "Not many days after, the young son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country." There is an old saying that tells us faraway fields look greener. And you know, that is so true and applicable in many aspects of life. When a man becomes dissatisfied with his present position and occupation, he's tired of his routine, he's tired of the mundane chores of employment, he may consider somebody else's position and he may wish for a change. His job is much better than mine. His salary is much larger than mine. His work is so much easier. The atmosphere that he works in is happier. And so far away fields look greener. But are they? He considers not what other problems or pressures or heartaches or struggles he may have to face if he changes from this position to another. Or a man may get fed up with his country, the place where he lives. And maybe it's Ulster. Maybe it's this wee land. And we think of what some might call the lesser prospects for employment in this land. We think of the weather. Well, there's always a very topical subject here in Northern Ireland. But despite that, there's so many good things, isn't there? But people might think this way, and they are tempted to look further afield, and far away fields look greener. But are they? He does not think what other dangers, difficulties, or hardships, or trials he may encounter. He doesn't contemplate, is this a place that is good to bring up my family spiritually? And often such moves have ended in disaster and tragedy. This is what happened to the prodigal son. He became dissatisfied and discontented with his present circumstances. He wanted to shake off the restraints of home and the discipline of a good family. He wanted to break free. He wanted the fast life. He wanted his freedom and his liberty. So one day, he comes to his father and he says, "Give me..." Does that sound familiar? That's what this young man did. "Give me..." He wanted the portion of his father's inheritance that would eventually come to him, but not come to him until his father had passed away. Having secured a third of his father's estate, because two-thirds went to the elder brother by the law, and he's the other brother, so he gets the third, it wasn't long before he took his journey into the far country. Just a few days later, as we read in the account. The purpose of obtaining the wealth was soon disclosed. His mind was set upon the far country and all that that entailed. From that moment, it was a downward road for this young man, eventually ending in absolute misery and degradation. Because as the line of the song says, sin will take you further than you want to go. And that is so true. The far country represents the distance a man can wander from God into sin. Many a young person
And we have to say, older person too, they're looking for excitement in life. They desire the bright lights, the pleasures of the world, the sins of this earth, the lusts of the flesh. They want to break free. They want to be their own master. They want to do their own thing. And sin takes them away from the Father into the far country. And it usually ends in shame and dishonor. Some of our sons are in the far country tonight. And we know that only too well. And many prayers we've heard in our prayer meetings in recent days, and some of them very broken, as a father and mother weeps for the son who's in the far country. And there's many of our daughters, they're in the far country. I was corresponding with some dear friends today, and they were sharing with me about the younger daughter of the home. The younger daughter of the home is far away from God. And alas, her marriage is breaking up because of sin. And some other family members are in the far country. And how we need to pray. It ought to excite us a little bit about the prayer meetings, you know, when we think of the sons and the daughters and the family members who are away from God. And even if we haven't got them in our own families, many of our family members do. And it ought to drive us to our knees, and it ought to bring us to prayer. Maybe in this meeting tonight, there are young people sitting here, and this is where you are. You are in the far country. It's my prayer that God will speak to your heart and draw you unto Christ tonight. I want you to consider the desire for the far country. Look there at the verses that we read, verse 12 and 13. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country. This young son gathered his legacy and his possessions together, and he headed off for the far country. He wanted to live it up. He wanted to see a little bit of the world. He wanted to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a while. And so he left his father's house and he took his journey. At last he was free. The old restrictions that had fettered his childhood and youth were thrown off. The old duties of home life that burdened him these many years were cast aside and forgotten. The discipline and orderliness of a good and peaceful home which had shackled him was a thing of the past. Now he was his own master, and the world was at his feet. The eye of his father, and if there was a mother, we're not told anything about the mother in the story, but the eye of his father, and if there was a mother, were no longer upon him. He's free. The young man desired a far country. He didn't desire the better country. The Bible speaks about the better country and tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 about the patriarchs of old, the men and women of faith, especially Abraham, who had their heart and their hopes set upon a better country that was in heavenly. That's not what this young man desired. He wasn't thinking about journeying to heaven. He wasn't thinking about going to the better land. No, my friends, he's taking his journey into the far country, and off he goes. From city to city, from country to country. He hasn't got any plans. That's part of his liberty. He's doing as he pleases. If he wishes to stay, he stays. If he feels like moving on, so he moves on. What freedom! What independence, what opportunities. He's no longer a child needing parental care and guidance. He's a grown man. He's free. And all the time, the Father's house, builded in purity and self-sacrifice and love and service, grows dimmer against the horizon until it disappears altogether out of sight.
This young man was like so many young men and women today. He thought himself to be wiser, and he didn't any longer need to be guided by his father. He thought himself to be stronger, and no longer did he need the governance of home. And he persuaded himself that he had ceased to be a child, and he was now old enough to see the world and to learn something about life. There are few things that are more tragic than to hear young men speaking in this way about seeing life when it's really death that they are seeing. And when a young man begins to talk much or loudly about being free, as a general rule, it means enslaving himself. At the start of such a desire for the far country, there is a delusive sense of freedom. I've got my liberty. No longer is it necessary to keep ours. No longer is it necessary to obey rules or perform tasks or conform to discipline. The world is before, with all its mysteries, with all its life, and with all its fascinations, and the vastness of the world. The home with all its discipline and restriction is behind. And some of you are just like the prodigal tonight, because you desire the far country. And you want to break free. And you hanker after the world. And you crave for the things of this life. And you yearn for the nightlife of sin. And that thirst for freedom. You want to shake off the old restrictions of home. You want to escape the discipline of a concerned father. You want to dispose of the restrictions of a godly family. You want to go where you please. You want to do as you please. You want to live as you like. And alas, you're running away from God. That's all you're doing. It may be pleasure that you're hankering after. Maybe fame, maybe fortune. Some ambition that you have. Maybe it's youthful lusts. The far country does not necessarily mean a far land, by the way. It might be just down the street. Or it might be in the next town. Or maybe city life. Whatever the case, it's a downward path that you're taking. Left to ourselves, we will always choose wrongfully. We follow the carnal desires of our heart. That's what we do. Maybe one of the greatest outstanding examples that we have in the Bible of that is Lot in the Old Testament. He was attracted by the bright lights of city life. And the Bible tells us how he pitched his tent towards Sodom, but it wasn't long before he went and he lived in Sodom. All because he desired the far country and that lifestyle. And it took him and his family away from the godly influence of a godly home, namely that of Abraham. And more importantly, it took him away from God and the way that he once served the Lord. Many a young person longs to break free. Will it benefit them? Will it help them? Will it bring happiness? Will it bestow contentment and satisfaction? More than often, no. All it does is open doors of the world and sin and temptation. And Satan still says, all these things will I give thee. That's what he said to Christ. Took him in his temptations up into a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And he says, all these things will I give you. And my friend, Satan is still taking young people up into the mountain. And he's still showing them the things of the world. And he says, I will give you all these things. You just come and serve me and worship me. And all these things will be yours. The prodigal listened to the carnal appetites of his flesh. He heeded the voice of temptation. He obeyed the sinful inclinations of his heart. Did it improve his character? Did it bring him joy and happiness? Did he find fulfillment and life's ambition? Most certainly not. Because I want you to look there at verses 14 through to 16. Because here we have the disappointment of the far country. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now for a time, it brought him sinful, worldly enjoyment. Because you see, out there, there's sinful, worldly enjoyment. And for a season, it satisfied the lustful desires of his flesh and his body. Because my friends out there in the world, there are things that satisfy the lustful desires of man's body. But it ended in disappointment. When his money was done, he had no friends. You've got money, you've got friends. When your money's done, you'll prove who your true friends are. This man had no friends. And so the far country for this prodigal son was sinful. It was sinful. Verse 13, there at the end of it, tells us there he wasted his substance with riotous living or wasteful living. He got involved in the sins of the world. It was not God's way to live, and it's still not God's way to live. God did not create the human body to live in this way that this young man is living in a riotous, wasteful way. This was sinful for him. It was not only sinful, but it was short-lived. Because verse 14, if you read it again, tells us that he spent all. And there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Don't you see it now? It's just for a season. It's just for a little time. It's far country experience. It's sinful. It's short-lived. And you see also for him, it's shameful. Shameful. Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience, and you've got to keep it in that context when you read verses 15 and 16. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine or the pigs. And a Jew would never dream of doing that. That was the lowest of the low as far as a Jew was concerned, to look after these unclean animals. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I tell you, it brought him low. Brought him low. It was sinful, it was short-lived, and it was shameful. You see, none can tell where you'll end up if you set yourself in such a course. A famine always arises. A crisis always comes. And often it leads in absolute disaster and despair. All the pleasures of the world bring heartache. All Satan's apples have worms. All his pleasure turned out to be so bitter. And if you haven't come to the famine yet, you will. If you haven't reached the rock bottom condition that this man got to, you will. If your desire is set on the far country and that's where you are tonight or that's where you're heading tonight, you're going to reach the point of absolute rock bottom. Look at the prodigal. God wants you to look at the prodigal. He wants you to consider what Luke chapter 15 is saying. He wants you to read it carefully. The story is inserted into the Word of God for our learning. It's to be a warning to young people who are just like this prodigal son. Jesus wants to teach you something here. And one of the things I believe he wants to teach you is this: there's two ways to learn in life. There's the hard way. There's the easy way. The easy way is to listen to your parents. The easy way is to listen to those that are mature, those that are godly, as they seek to guide you in the right way. The hard way is to learn like this prodigal son had to learn. Breaking free from the restraints of home and going after the bright lights and attractions of the world. will always end in misery and degradation. And we think tonight of how many lives have been broken and devastated because those lives, those individuals took the same course that this young man took. Their life has been absolutely devastated by alcohol or drink. Because you see, the devil sets it before them and he portrays it as something that's pleasurable and something that's exciting and something that is the done thing for young people. But I tell you, we all know lives that have been absolutely wrecked because of alcohol. And many a life has been wrecked because of drugs. Chris Killen is the evangelist of our church to the drug addicts of Northern Ireland. And we thank God for a life that's dedicated to this ministry and to this work. And Chris has brought me to a number of homes where we have met these drug addicts. They're living it up. They're running after pleasure. This is joy. This is happiness. At least that's how it's painted. But I tell you, it's misery. Absolute misery. And I can remember one home that he took me to in Ballymena. We went to visit a young couple. They were living together. And that night they sat and they smoked heroin. I don't know. I think they were smoking heroin. It was some kind of drug. And I know I came away with a stench of not just cigarette smoke, but that stench of the drug cigarette smoke clinging to my clothing. And I can remember going into that home. And there was just a young woman sitting there in the living room. And her partner was upstairs. He didn't appear for at least half an hour. Do you know what he was doing? His life was so wrecked by drug abuse that the veins of his body had collapsed. And he couldn't get a vein to inject heroin into himself. So what was he doing? He was sitting with his feet and ankles in a basin of almost boiling water. He was trying to get a vein to come to the surface of his ankles or his feet so that he could inject that substance into his body. My friends, his life was wrecked and the young woman's life was wrecked. As I tell you, this path into the far country always ends in misery and it brings dissatisfaction. Many another, it might not have been alcohol, it may not have been drugs, but it's been lust. The lust of the eye and the lust of the body has brought many a young person away from God, away from the Father's house, into the far country, and it has devastated their life. Or it may have been a move to the far country. I have known people who have left Northern Ireland. They have left good homes. They have left the restraints of godly families. And they've moved to some other part. Maybe just another city, but maybe across to the United Kingdom or some other part of the world, all in a quest of finding life and finding enjoyment. But that move has been devastating to them spiritually. And I think of some families that moved years ago. And of course, as an unsaved person, they married an unsaved person and they brought their family up in an ungodly fashion. They never sent them to Sunday school. They never sent them to the house of God. And you know the generation that is now, they know nothing about God. Nothing. They don't even know the simple choruses that we sing in our children's meetings. They couldn't even quote you John 3:16 or some other familiar passage of the Bible. Why? Because they were brought up in ungodliness. They went out into the far country. And today they're far, far away from God. Sin promises pleasure, but it brings pain. It offers life, but it gives death. It opens out as bright as the morning, but it closes as dark as the night. It's a beast of prey. Under its velvet paw, it conceals a claw which it wounds and lacerates those who would stroke it. Sin is a very promising employer, but it's a terrible paymaster. Going into the far country not only brought this fellow to a place of despair, but it broke his father's heart.
Young people, don't break your father's heart. Don't take decisions that lead you away from God into the far country. And I can only imagine how this father felt when his son says, give me the money because I want to take a journey. And I can only picture it in my mind as the young man leaves the home and he begins to walk away from the house, that there's a father there that's yearning after him and knowing what the young man is seeking and knowing where the young man is going. Sometimes I could even imagine in my mind's eye that the father runs after his son and begs him to stay. But there's no talking to him, you see. He's got it into his heart. He wants the far country. And soon the farm of the young man disappears into the horizon. And the father's heart is broken. There's a story that is told of a young daughter who left home, just like the prodigal. And she left home for a life of sinful pleasure. And out into the world she went with all the vices of the world, with all the impurities of the world. And it broke her mother's heart. She loved her daughter. Oh, she did. And she longed for her daughter to return. One day the mother came to the preacher and said, is there anything you think that I can do to get my daughter back? And the preacher suggested something that was going to be shameful and humiliating, but he said, my suggestion is this. You get a number of photographs of yourself, and you put on those photographs the inscription, come home, I love you. And you get them put up in the pubs and the nightclubs and the dens of iniquity in the city to which your daughter has gone. And the mother was prepared to do anything, and she did that. And so these posters of the mother, her photograph with the inscription, come home, I love you, were plastered in all those places, those dens of iniquity. But you know, it had the right result, because one night this young girl was in a public house drinking the night away, and she glanced over onto the wall, and there was a picture of her mother, come home, I love you. And it broke her heart. And she came home. And you know, here's a young man, he does come home. And I want you to look there at verse 17. I want you to see the deliverance from the far country. Because the narrative reads, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His delivery necessitated certain steps. We haven't time to deal with them extensively. But I want you to note, as I read it, there are seven. I'm just going to mention them to you. I want you to see it tonight. First of all, there was reflection. He came to himself. That's the first step of leaving the far country and making your journey back to the Father's house. Reflection. He came to himself. And then there's recollection. Because the past comes before him. How foolish he had been to leave his father's house where there was plenty. And look at where I am now. So there was this recollection of the past. And then there was realization. In the two words, I perish. In other words, there's nobody to blame but me. I am where I am today because of the steps that I have taken, and now I'm perishing. And then there's resolution. What did he resolve in his heart? Well, it says, I will arise, I will go, I will say. All wrapped up there in those little phrases, that's the resolution of his heart. I'm going to arise, I'm going to go, and I'm going to say something to my Father. Then there's repentance. But he said, I've sinned. Oh, you've got to get to the place of true repentance. And true repentance means an entire change of mind, and it means forsaking sin, and this young man was prepared for it. And then the sixth thing that I noticed here was restoration. Because while he was yet a great way off, his father saw. His father had compassion. And his father ran. It's a marvelous story, isn't it? And we can put in the word love. His father loved him. Because he calls for the robe and the ring and the shoes and has his son clothed as a son. And the seventh thing is rejoicing. They began to be merry. You see, that's what the Bible is teaching tonight about this whole story, about these three stories. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven when one sinner repents. And here is one sinner in the picture that's set before us of the prodigal son. And he comes back to the Father's house and he repents and there's joy. There's joy in heaven. And we know there's joy in the home. Oh, the rejoicing. They began to be merry. He came to his senses. You need to come to your senses, young people. He realizes what a fool I have been. Here I am, cold, houseless, friendless, starving. And in my Father's house, the servants have enough. Oh, they have more than enough. I'll just go back there. And I will apply for a position as a servant in my Father's household. Because even the servant would be better than what he had in the far country. It is when he came to himself that he said, I will arise and I will go to my Father. But my friends, if it hadn't have been for the famine, he would never have gone home. And so sadly, God allows the famine. He allows the hard time. He allows the crisis. Or else the prodigal will not come home. He allows a young man to sink before he lifts him. He allows him to fall down before he raises him. Oh, that tonight you would come to your senses, that you would realize where your sin has taken you, and that you will stay clear of the downward road that you're on. Because God is speaking. He wants to get your attention. He does. He wants you to sit up and think and consider. The policeman said, halt, to you. Well, I think most of us would be wise enough to halt and not brush him aside. Listen, God is saying, halt. What a foolish thing it would be just to brush God aside. He wants you just to stop where you are. He wants to get your attention. He wants you to know that you're on a course that's leading you down to hell. And he says in your conscience, stop. Because you're going in the wrong direction. You see, my friends, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I want to tell you tonight that there's a greater fool than the fool that says in their heart, there's no God. And do you know who he is? He's the fool that says, there is a God, but I'm going to live as if there's no God. I believe in God, but I'm going to live as if he doesn't exist. That's the greater fool. Dear friend, God is speaking to your heart. He wants you to stop and think. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is saying here, sit down with me. Talk this matter over with me. I can show you that sin does not pay. The prodigal decided to arise and to start for home, to confess his sin and his failure, to return to his father. What will you do? What will you do tonight? You can either heed the message or you can turn away from it. I trust that you'll arise and you'll come, that you'll run. You'll run to Christ. You'll confess your sin. Oh, if there's but one unconverted person in this meeting, but one young person that's in the far country away from God, I plead with you, arise. Arise. Oh, what a welcome you will find. There is the Father's embrace of love. He will see you. He will have compassion on you. Yeah, he will run to meet you in the best robe of the spotless purity of the blessed Son of God will be given to you, and the ring of acceptance and the shoes of sonship will be yours. So is there one tonight and you're saying, it's true. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. And you're saying in your heart, Lord, I'm coming home. The far country? Is that where you are? Well, God has a message for you here in Luke 15. And you need to heed it. You need to do what the prodigal did. You need to come home. Let's pray.